that is our prayer this day, that the Lord will take our hands. We're so delighted that you are here worshiping with us. We invite you to the Lord's table later on in the service. And if you would get some food together, either bread or wine or whatever you have in store, and we will meet at the Lord's table. Let us draw our hearts to worship the Lord.
Thank you.
Our watchword for the week is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Please join us in singing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Of worship where we do take it to the Lord in prayer. We want to remember all of those today who are under a great deal of stress, those who feel like their lives have been upended, and we will pray for you today. We want to continue to pray for all those who have been on our prayer list, those in need of physical healing, Tammy, Jewel Ann, Ray, Kevin, Rhea, Dean, Jack, Jaden, and Madeline. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we are so grateful that we could be here today to take all of our burdens, all of ourselves to you in prayer. We thank you for the gift of prayer that you have given to us. We would remember all of those today who are under great stress, all of those whose lives have been upended, all of those in need of your healing touch this morning. And we ask that you would speed comfort and peace. May they be undergirded by your Holy Spirit as they seek your will for the next chapter in their lives. We would remember Tammy and Julianne, Ray, Kevin, Rhea, Dean, Jack, Jaden, and Madeline. We ask that you would continue to speed relief and healing to them. We bring ourselves to you today as we pray the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh. Testament lesson is taken from the prophet Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our gospel lesson is taken from the book of Mark. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our reflection is written by Reverend Corey Kemp. There are many definitions of friendship. It is a state of mutual trust and support between two people, built by powerful choices that welcome people into our lives simply because we want to. Saint Augustine suggested that choosing people as friends who we believe to be better than us makes us better people. Willa Cather, through the title character of her book, My Antonia, simply said this of friendship: "Ain't it wonderful how much people can mean to each other?" It is a biblical concept, the sense of connection to each other, that can be described as deep affection, respect, admiration, and love. In describing Jesus, each gospel allows a great teacher, prophet, and savior to emerge. Today's scripture reading shows Jesus as healer. We also see him as a friend. Simon, Andrew, James, and John were among the first disciples Jesus called to follow him. Upon arrival at Simon and Andrew's home, Jesus is immediately told that Simon's mother-in-law is ill with a fever. Will he help her? Jesus goes to her, holds her hand, and helps her up. Sometimes that's what we need most from a friend. She feels better, well enough to resume her role as hostess for the evening. Later that evening at sunset, people begin to show up at the door seeking healing for themselves. Rather than feel imposed upon, having their gathering interrupted, Jesus' hosts welcome the whole town and support their friend in his work, which is now becoming their own work. Sometimes friends have every right to feel inconvenienced, but they very often surprise us by not feeling inconvenienced at all. Very early the next morning, searching out and finding Jesus in a secluded place to which he has gone to pray, the disciples also nudge him along, reminding him that there is even more work to do. People are looking for him. He is needed. Jesus seems reluctant to leave the private moment he had created for himself, but he agrees, saying, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Sometimes friends are relentless in reminding us who we are and in getting us back on track, even when we might like a little more time to ourselves. Not only was Jesus a good friend, he also had good friends around to help him. That's what friends do. We invite each other into our lives. We ask for and give each other help when we need it, and we are all the better for it. Amen.
Thank you.
us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I must have preached on this passage about Jesus healing and then going off to pray dozens of times. And every time I've done it, it's been from a different angle. Like for those who are frazzled, I talk about even Jesus taking time away to pray and to regroup. But one thing I love about these kinds of passages is that when the Spirit gets a hold of them, they give you different lessons each time. And I learned something brand new this time when I read this. A few things jumped out at me, and one of them was this, that the people came at night, and it says the whole city was gathered at the door. Now, it was a Sabbath day, and people could not travel on the Sabbath, and that's why they waited at night. You would think they could wait till Sunday morning in order to go and gather around the house, but they couldn't wait. And the reason they gathered around that house was they were desperate to get their lives back. These were people who were sick. These were people that were described as possessed by demons, and I'll get to that later. But because they were under such strain and stress, they couldn't wait till the morning, and the entire city gathered there to get their lives back. And I guess it jumped out at me because we're all so anxious to get our lives back. In the newscasts, almost every single night, they'll go to a different town and show people lined up, sometimes two and three deep, because they're waiting for a vaccine. And one of the most poignant interviews was of an older couple sitting in their car waiting their turn to get a vaccine. And they asked them why they were there. And the mom said simply, "I want to visit and hold my grandchildren again. We want our lives back." So you can well understand the desperation of these people. Now, I've always emphasized that people came with their sick, and of course, Jesus healed them. But I've never really emphasized the other part, which was that he cast out demons, that there were people demon-possessed. And I guess I haven't because it's kind of creepy. It's from a time that we don't understand in modern life. We don't understand all this talk about demon possession. It's when we think of it, we think of awful films like The Exorcist. By the way, I only watched the first few minutes. The minute the little girl's head turned around on her shoulders, I turned it off because I knew I would have nightmares. I've never even read the book because it just freaked me out. And that's what we think about. We think about it as something that's beyond the realm of understanding, and we don't want to deal with it. And so when we hear that word in the Bible, we either gloss over it or we'll talk about that that's how people were described who were mentally ill. But what we can understand is evil. We know evil when we see it. Evil causes death and destruction. Evil takes us away from community. Evil drives wedges between people. Evil causes war. So we know what evil is. And so people, when we think of demon possession, it's people who are in the grip of something that they cannot shake. The grip of evil that has come into their lives and they have no control over it. And we can certainly understand that. And they wanted their lives back. Their family members probably dragged them along and said, "You're going because we've got to be free from this evil." And it was interesting that as the demons spoke, Jesus shut them up. He would not allow them to speak, even though they were saying things that were accurate. They were identifying who he really was. You see, sometimes evil speaks accurately because that word will subvert a good cause. And Jesus knew that if his identity was well known at the beginning of his ministry, it was going to derail it. So he kept them quiet. And said he cast out these demons. And then when he finished with his work, he was so physically exhausted and drained that he went out to that quiet place to have prayer. He went out there to regroup, and of course, his disciples come looking for him. And then he said, "Let us go to another place." And when he went there, at the very end of this passage, it doesn't say he healed sick. What does it say? He proclaimed the message in their synagogues, and he cast out demons. He loosened the grip of evil on these people so they could get their lives back. We are longing to get our lives back today, aren't we? We're longing for that time that we can hold somebody and it's not going to kill them. We're longing for that time when we can come into community together. We're longing for our lives to be restored. And there are some of you that I'm speaking to today that it's beyond just the simple things like gathering. Your livelihood has been lost. Or the stress of this has gotten to the point that you feel like you cannot take one foot in front of the other. You're longing for release. And I want you to invite you again to the feet of Jesus, again to that one who holds the universe in his hand, again to that one, the God of all the universe, that said, "I will enable you to mount up with wings like eagles, to run and not be weary, and to walk and not faint." To that one who holds our lives in his hands, we are invited to come today and throw all of that on the grace and the mercy of the Savior. If you're angry today and you don't know where to place that anger, God can handle it. If you're in despair today and you don't know where to place the despair, God can handle it. If you're casting about not knowing what to do, God can handle that too. And so we're invited to this table to receive what we need to get our lives back. Even while we're waiting for a cure, even while we're waiting for normalcy, whatever that is, we still are invited to come and get our lives back today at the feet of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that in whatever state we are in, your grace and your mercy will find us, will give us peace, will set us on the right path, will remove the grip of evil from our lives. And so we ask, O Lord, for those who are in evil's grip, that you will break the chains of bondage as we gather together in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it, he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Let us partake together." forgiven, loved, and free, in awe and wonder to recall his life laid down for me, his life laid down for me. As Christ breaks bread and bids us share, each proud division ends. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let us all receive the cup of salvation." Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace in the name of Jesus. Amen.